Welcome back to the Miracle of the Cloth, an ancient mystery special from the Jerry Pippin Show. Athelin Rose is our guest, and in this half hour, we'll get to the incident that happened shortly before she discovered the embedded images in her canvas that she was using for her photography. She will talk about a mysterious blue light, a blue light from the sky in the middle of the night, around 2 a.m. But let's not get ahead of her story. We urge you to check out the YouTube links on this page where Athelin has gone to a great deal of trouble and work to put together the story and explain each of the embedded images. But right now, let's get back to Athelin and the show. When we left for the break, I was about to ask you, Athelin, about your contacts with the media. Have you talked with the media about this, or am I the lucky one?
Oh, well, yeah, I've talked to the media. I've been on a couple of shows, radio shows, with Margaret Wendt.
Okay.
And I also, the Sun magazine. The Sun magazine picked it up when it happened. And they gave me a page on page 6 in 1998. They talked about it. And I don't know. It just has me. It's still as strong as ever. But it's like, you know, I look at it like it's a message. It's a message to the world. And there are a lot of miracles that are happening around the world. But the media doesn't care to open it up to the world because the media is very selective in what they do. I had Channel 7, which was, I think it was CBS when I first received it with Beverly Burke. I went to see her, and she was going to, they had filmed it, and then the new news director came in and got rid of it and didn't want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Did it show up on camera?
Oh, yes. Oh, let me tell you about her. She was very skeptical because she's a news person, and I was trying to show it to her in the hall. Yes.
Okay.
And that
was in Boston?
Yeah. No.
Oh, Channel 7 in D.C. No, that's not PBS. That's the ABC station.
Uh-huh. And I put it up on the background holders, and you really couldn't see it. So she says, well, maybe, you know, is this, I used to do something called wax relief when I was in college. And I said, no, this isn't wax relief. I said, these painted themselves. And so just at this time, the photographer came up. And he said, well, I'll light it. Come on into the studio, and I'll light it the way it's supposed to be lit. So, you know, he had all of this fabulous sweep, white sweep, and all the lights that were pointed in the back, you know, all the studio stuff. And she had gone out. And the room for a minute, and then when she came back, this thing glows. This painting is awesome. And when she walked back into the room and she saw the horse and all the other images in it, she says, oh, that's what you're talking about. I said, yes, that's what I'm talking about. Because the whole room was dark, and it was lit from the back in this expensive suite they had. And I said, yes. And then she got all interested in it once she saw it. But that didn't happen. But that's all right, because it will happen. Because I cannot believe that I have been given this gift to share with the world, and I won't be able to share it.
Why do you think you were chosen?
Well, because I never give up. That's why.
Because I can testify to that, my dear.
Yes. Because I, in whole heart, I believe that this was a miracle, and that this miracle is for the world. And I'm not going to give up until I share this miracle with the world. And it's like I'm not going to...
Now, do you have a plan if you could do anything in the entire world with this cloth? I wonder what it would be. What would you do? Open up a museum? I guess the Museum of Miss Rose or something?
I would love to put it on display in a museum. I would love to do that, along with the photographs. That of the images of the photographs, the images that are in this cloth. But what I think that is very possible for me is to have seminars. I have had a couple of seminars.
Well, you do have a clue from what happened at the TV station. You backlit it in a dark room, and everyone could see it.
They can definitely see the images. They can see the images, yeah. Oh, yes.
Are you going to charge at these seminars? I mean, you have to live.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to charge that much for the seminars because I want people to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to see them. And I wrote a book about this.
Oh, you've written a book? Has it been published?
Yes, someone is considering publishing.
Okay, so it's in the process of being published. We call that shopping the book.
Oh, the whole story. Exactly. And I forgot to tell you something that was very important. About 6 months before this happened, my daughter and I were together, and we would sleep in the same room. And it was 2:00 in the morning. And the all the lights went out. And we knew that because we would sleep with a fan, and the fan would sort of dull all of the house noises.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden I woke up. And when I woke up, she was peeping out of the slats in the at the window. And it was a blue light.
Yeah, I hear in my notes about you from one of our producers, I see something about a blue light. Tell us about that blue light.
Yes. And so I looked up and I said, well, what's going on? I said, what is that? She said, Mom, she says, there's a blue light. And it's like a television. It's like a television set. She said, this blue light is canvassing all of these houses that are behind us. And there was a cul-de-sac, and they were building new houses in there, and we could see right through it because it was winter. And so all of the leaves were gone, so all were a few trees. And she says, I don't know what that is. So I laughed at her because I thought she thought it was E.T.
Yeah, I do a lot of shows about things like this.
Uh-huh. And so it's 2:00, and I'm instantly awakened. And so we went to the front of the house. We were living in a townhome, and we went to the front of the house, and all the lights were on across the street, and only this few lights were off. In our neighborhood, in our little row of houses. And she said, and the lights are going, and the lady's front light is twinkling, is getting ready to go out. And so anyway, we went, and we never thought about going outside. Never in a million years. And I don't understand that, because she and I are very curious. So we went back to the blue lights. I never looked outside. All I could see was the blue light coming in from under the slats in the...
So this blue light was very bright, and it was covering your house, but you don't really know for sure.
And it was, there was no sound. No sound at all. Just totally silent.
So when did this happen?
This was in 1998.
About 6 months after you discovered the images on the canvas?
No, this was 6 months prior to that.
You think the blue light caused the images, right?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. So then we go down the street, and I said to our neighbor, I said, did you see anything last night? And she had just had a baby. And she said, yeah, I got up to get the bottle about 2 o'clock. She said, and there was this green light coming from under the house, it seemed. Because we it was like a walkout cellar in these townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
So she saw a green light, and it filled her whole front room. And Nico saw a blue light, and it came from overhead. Because we thought it was maybe a helicopter or something, but there was no sound.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think that, and her cellar was 3 doors down from my house. And I do believe that was what painted on that cloth. Because it painted that cloth, and the cloth was still in the wrapper. I can't think of any other explanation.
Now, you're the one who brought up the blue light from the sky or somewhere. I do a lot of UFO shows. Have you thought about UFOs? What do you think about UFOs?
Well, I've never seen a UFO, but I have dreamed of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. In this cloth is a UFO.
Really?
There are 2 of them. One right side up and one right and upside down.
So you have 2 UFOs? Where are they on the cloth?
They're near the galaxy.
Galaxies. You mean there are stars in this cloth, too?
Yes, it's black, and the galaxy is sort of an oval sort of thing, but it looks like a galaxy. And right under there are these 2 UFOs in there. And I have to think it has something to do with the Virgin Mary also, because the Virgin Mary has, there are a lot of ancient paintings, and I have one in my book, and they have a man looking up at a UFO. That was one of the ancient paintings. And then I looked at that, and I knew that something had to have been happening at that time, in ancient times, because there were just so many paintings.
That's one of the UFO topics we do hear fairly often, the idea that UFOs have been around since ancient times, maybe even causing some of the biblical verses we have.
Yes, and after I had written it, then I saw a lot of biblical passages about UFOs, which have to do with wheels and lights and all of these things that they saw in the sky, and just out of just the law of averages with us and this great big universe.
Well, I mean, are you saying that Jesus is coming back in a UFO or something like that?
Well, this might sound really crazy, but I think Jesus was an alien, because he was born of a virgin. And so I think God had to have been a supernatural being in order to impregnate a woman. And I think that the star that they said followed, the wise men followed a star. And it was a moving star, and they had come a long way, and this star lit their way. And that sounds just like a UFO, and what people say the UFO are.
I want to get back to why you again. When you were a young girl, did you have some sort of a miracle or something supernatural happen? Or do you think it's you because you're tenacious?
Oh, no, I think that I was open. I've been open to the supernatural all my life. I have pictures that I have taken over the years with images on them, and nothing was there, and it came out on the photographs. I have a lot of photographs. I have a lot of...
You have pictures of apparitions or something? Translucent beings? I assume these ghosts are humanoid.
I tell you what, I'll put these on the miraculous... No, the modern-day miracle. I'll put it on under Ghost Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
On my website.
So people can go over there to that ghost gallery and check it out.
Because I have a being standing, a bodiless being just standing. It's got hair on it. It's real weird.
You mean like a werewolf?
No, I don't know what it's like. It's just like a head with
just
some hair.
Just floating there?
A floating.
And no body.
Head. Uh-huh. It has no body.
Could you tell if the apparition was male or female?
I don't know. Huh? It looks like it's two. It looks like a boy and a girl. It looks like the girl is standing behind the boy.
Okay. Two heads.
Yes. But anyway, there's one more thing on there. I understand that the Virgin of Guadalupe, she had something in a picture of something, I don't know what it was, painted in her eye. And I have Christ on a donkey that is about an inch. And it, I saw this on the in the computer. I pull all these things up and try to just put a little more contrast on some of them so people could actually see what these things were. Well, anyway, while I was going through this angel, inside of this angel, in her halo, is a man on a donkey. And then that took me a long time to find. I didn't find that for years. This is a picture in the cloth.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a picture I found that was in the cloth.
Okay.
Okay, but when I went to Plymouth, Massachusetts, I found the book that was called Christian Art, some kind of Christian art. I don't exactly remember what it was, but anyway, it was Christian art. And in this book, there was a statue from the 1500s of Christ on a donkey, and it is the exact match. We have a man on a donkey.
Do you know when and where this was painted?
Yeah, it's a sculpture.
Oh, a sculpture. No, the reason I ask is the whole thing started with that 15th century greeting card.
Yes, it did. Yes. And this is, it's called, it. They were taking it out of, they had taken this from the painting entitled Entry into Jerusalem. And then, that statue that was created, it was created because of this painting. And it's the same exact thing. He's walking. He has his right hand up in the air, and he's on a donkey with, you can see his face.
When you show this cloth to other people, at least most of them validate what you are seeing?
Oh, everybody validates what I see. It's there. And I look at it like this. If there is one thing that you can see, that's something. But if you have a painting and everything is in the place that it should be in order to validate this passage in the Bible, then, I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
Well, what do you think those passages in Revelation mean?
Well, the message is that Jesus is coming back, and he's going to slay the Satan, slay Satan.
Oh, I'm really familiar with the book of Revelation and these verses, but I'm sorry, I still don't get the message.
I think something's going to happen.
In the New Testament, Jesus was not violent. He was a nonviolent person.
Uh-huh.
He believed in turning the other cheek. Making war really doesn't seem to be part of his plan. I find it interesting, but frankly, I'm still not sure what all this really means.
I'm not sure either, but what I think it means is that there is going to be a war. And Jesus is coming back.
So let's go over the message again. I'm not sure being afraid of going to hell is the right reason to be good. I would think you'd want to be good because it's the thing to do.
Because this prophecy says that there will be a judgment.
Let me be a little obstinate here. I have one problem with biblical prophecy. It seems to be in conflict with one of the tenets of Christian religion, and that is the free will thing. Man has free will. So, I mean, if the prophecies are going to come true, then that means we're all just role-playing.
That's what this prophecy says, that there will be a judgment. People will be judged for the way that they, being is bigger than we are. That's
okay.
What I think.
You're not alone in thinking that. I think you need to do something with it. But you say it's a spiritual message. I mean, you need to do something with it.
Yes, I do. I'm hoping to get a documentary on it, and I would love to do seminars and show people this cloth.
Okay, Athelin, what are we going to do with this cloth? You've written a book. What is the book about? I mean, what's in your book?
Yeah, but the book is about exactly how this happened, and the images in the pictures of the images in the book, and what I think the message is.
Well,
you can be contacted on your website, right?
Yes.
Maybe someone has an idea on what to do with this thing, and they can contact you on your website.
That would be a beautiful thing. That would be another miracle. And I do believe in miracles.
Well, I think it's been an interesting show, but I guess I just have to leave it here. So I guess
we
both have to wait for the next chapter.
Yes, and I would like people to see this cloth, and I would like to have people give donations, because this is the only way that I will ever get to help people, because there's so many people out here hurting. I mean, long before this recession hit, but there are so many people that don't have food and don't have clothing, and I would basically like to join the some organization who could help these. The message is to be kind to each other, that there will be a judgment for the way that you treat people. That's simple.
Athelin Rose, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for having me on your show. I enjoyed it.
Give your website one more time.
TheModernDayMiracle.com.
Thanks, Athelin Rose, for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
And I know you're on a mission.
Hi, Jerry.
Well, what do you think, listeners? I'd like to see that canvas. Questions, and few answers sometimes. This indeed has been an ancient mystery special, The Mystery of the Cloth. Our web producer is Jane Smortley. Thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Pippin. Until next time, cheers.